Good morning. It is Sunday morning, and this is Old Lion, Young Lion, and we are a new show to WPTR, and we hope that you are getting up and getting ready to head to church this morning. And if you've hit the snooze button for the ninth time on this Sunday morning, we ask that you do not hit it for a tenth, but that you get up and get to your local church, and we know there is still time for you to get there. He has not started his sermon yet, and we know that you are welcome there. So we are a new show, Old Lion, Young Lion, and you might ask, why are we called Old Lion, Young Lion? That's a great question. There's a couple of reasons why. Number one, we believe the Bible teaches, and it clearly teaches, that the righteous should be bold as lions. We believe we've been commanded to speak like lions in a bold fashion about the things that are true. Secondly, we believe that we work for the greatest lion of all time, and that's the Lion of the Tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus Christ. And on this show, we take it as our responsibility to uncover truth and speak it boldly. We hope that you spend our regular Sunday mornings with us at 9:30 on WPTR. Now, my name is Anthony Stafford, and I'm here with Sam Hazleton, and we are a part of the pastoral team at Electric City Baptist Church, and we meet in the heart of Schenectady County at 2350 Hamburg Street every Sunday at 10:30. Now, we gather multiple times throughout the week, but we hope that you can find yourself at one of our services in the near future. We'd love for you to come and spend a Sunday morning with us. One of the staples of our show that we love to do every week is that at the beginning of our show, we take a quick deep breath, a little pause, and we spend a moment in prayer. So I'll ask our resident Old Lion here, Sam Hazleton, would you lead us in prayer this morning?
I will. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the opportunity to just wrap up the cosmic drama today. Lord, it's been a great journey. Father, I pray that you'd give us clarity of speech, and I pray that you'd give understanding to those who are within the sound of our voice. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We also pray a special blessing over all you out there that are listening, and we hope that God brings some clarity and truth to your life, and we hope that not only that you had a wonderful Christmas last week, but that your new year, 2024, will be filled with God's blessings as you seek him out. Now, where we've been is the story of what we've been calling the cosmic drama. We've learned a couple definitions from this cosmic drama that we've been telling you about here on the airwaves. One of them is what we call redemption. How do we define redemption? This is how we define it: that God fixes broken things. This is now episode number 4 of us uncovering the truth of the cosmic drama, what's been happening behind the scenes that's revealed in Scripture. Sam, how has the first 3 weeks gone?
I'm so excited because today we're going to get to where this paradise, this innocence, this beauty of the Garden of Eden that was in the beginning with Adam and was lost through his disobedience, through his transgression, we're going to see that restored today. So this is the final segment of this initial overview. We saw Adam. After Adam, we saw Abraham. God, when Adam fell, God promised that he would send a Messiah born of a woman. He promised that this Messiah would crush the serpent's head, even though the serpent would bruise his heel. Abraham arose, and God promised that he would send this Messiah through Abraham's family. And we learned also that those who are counted righteous, those who are right with God not because of the things that they've done in the past, good or bad, but because of their faith in what God has promised. And so we learned that from Abraham. Moses came along, brought the Ten Commandments. And again, Moses, a tragic hero because although he was a representative of Christ who delivered the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt, which is a foreshadowing of what God's done for every single believer in Christ, brought them out of slavery and bondage to sin out to freedom. Moses was that representative of that future deliverer, that Messiah. He was not going to make it into the promised land because the law that Moses represented can never make you right. Mm-hmm. It can only make you wrong.
Right.
And finally, we saw David 1,000 years before the Lord Jesus Christ came on the scene, and David, a man after God's own heart, and God came and gave him a promise to David that it was through David that the Messiah would come. And we saw later, even as prophesied in the prophets, that Jesus was born of the house of David. He was born of a virgin. He was born in the town of Bethlehem. He came right on time, right according to schedule, exactly as God had promised. And then we arrive, Jesus himself. He lives a perfect life that you and I could never live. He dies a horrible death on the cross that we deserved. And then, best news of all, he rises from the dead on the third day.
Wow.
That we might be transformed.
When the Bible is so unique, it's unlike any other religious text in that it tells you the history of time and then relates it to you. It connects the past history to the present. But because it's a supernaturally prophetic book, it actually connects the historical timeline also to the future. Now, we here on this show believe that the Bible is fact, it's truth, and it can be trusted from page one all the way until page done. And there's a unique phrase that's in the scripture, and it says this: a day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day with the Lord. So what we've been watching as the timeline of creation until now has unfolded has been about roughly 6,000 years. So that equates in that math to 6 days. Now in creation, there was 6 days of creation. And we found what God did on day one and day two and day three and day four and day five and day six. But then it shows up on day seven. And the Bible says this, that God rested on day seven. So when we look at this cosmic drama that's unfolding as God is delivering redemption to his people, we see 6 days that have happened here on earth, 6,000 years. And we're looking forward to this seventh day, this day of rest. Now you might ask, what in the world are you talking about? Well, that is a great question that we're going to talk about today. Because where we left off last week is the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and Jesus calling all those to place their faith in him so that they can be made sons of God, so that they can be made righteous, so that they can have actual redemption. So what's happened from the day that Jesus resurrected until today?
So Jesus, after he rose, the Bible says he spent 40 days with his disciples, showing them by many, many undeniable proofs that he had truly risen and speaking to them of the kingdom of God. He said an interesting thing. He told his disciples, he said, do not go anywhere. Don't do anything. Wait here in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father. And he said this, and then he was on the top of the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and he ascended to be with his Father. And it's interesting, the Bible says that Jesus is going to come back exactly in the same way that he ascended from the Mount of Olives. He's going to return to the Mount of Olives, and that's prophesied in several places in your Bible. And so 10 days later, the disciples, there's only 120 of them there. They're all in one place, gathered together. They're waiting. It's the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit falls upon the church, and they were endued, as the Bible says, with power from on high, and they became bold to be witnesses for Jesus Christ.
I love this story that starts on the day of Pentecost, where men are filled with the Holy Spirit, and after they're filled with this power, they preach the word of God. It's exactly as Jesus commanded them. Before Jesus left, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So how cool is it that in the times of Scripture, in the pages of Scripture, in the historical timeline, is that when someone gets filled with the Holy Spirit, their next step is to obey what Jesus said. And so what kicks off on this day of Pentecost, what happens in this very interesting part of what the Bible says and the history of earth is this, what we call the church age. Yeah. So now the church is here, it's on the stage, and it's ready to go.
Right. And this first, we're going to break the church age up into five quick segments. One, the first couple hundred years we call conquest, because as you can read about in the book of Acts, which covers the first 40 years of church history, during that time and beyond, the apostles of the Lord and the next couple of generations went throughout the known empire, the Roman Empire, They went everywhere on those Roman roads, and they brought many peoples and many nations, many cities to Christ, established churches everywhere. The Bible says that people said, the men who have turned the world upside down have come here also in Acts chapter 17.
Wow.
So here we have this segment of church age called conquest. And interestingly, we all know the stories about the Roman Colosseums and Christians being thrown to the lions. We have to understand that even throughout this time when the church was expanding and growing, it was still being viciously persecuted by the Roman Empire. And so I've heard it said before that the blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church.
Wow, that's so good. And I think that we need to take a pause and just recognize this, because when men of God heard what God commanded them to do, when they went into God's word and saw the light that Jesus shone so that they can go about all the world preaching the gospel, when men and women encounter truth inside their heart, inside their stomach, that feeling that they get, they have to go out and share it. And so no matter what, even at the edge of the sword that's pointing to their neck saying, stop preaching this word of God, because they've encountered such great truth, they had to do exactly as God had told them. And maybe you're out there listening to the show. This is the first time you've heard anything from the Bible, the first thing you've ever heard of church history, the first time you've ever heard of what Jesus has done and what he's done for you. And now it might be time to respond. And you might need to respond like those people of old that said, whatever it takes, God has showed me something, and now I must go about doing it. And that's how the church age kicked off.
Yes. And so it's interesting, the next phase of the church age, we're going to call co-optation. The church was co-opted, if you will. And Satan's clever. We saw his cleverness in the garden. He's always clever. He's a very crafty serpent. And so just like in the life and ministry of Jesus, he couldn't really stop Jesus. He couldn't really get to Jesus. So he said, aha, I'm going to infiltrate Jesus' disciples. And this is what brought the infamous Judas, right, who was the betrayer. And so Satan utilized the greed of Judas to get through and ultimately put Jesus on the cross. Satan does this same thing again in the church age on a global scale. And so you have this church that is growing, it's successful, it's reached out to all the areas of the empire. And so what happened in about 300 AD, you've heard of the Emperor Constantine, and the church was co-opted by the world. The church was co-opted by the power structure that was in place. And we see that the church plunged into a period that we all know in history called the Dark Ages.
That's right. Isn't it just like the enemy to use the same trick over and over and over again? And he wasn't successful in taking down Jesus, so he goes after his followers. But spoiler alert, just like the prophecy that Jesus gave, the gates of hell will not prevail against the church. So we move on in the church age from conquest to co-optation to recovery.
Right. And so we see there's a lot of famous figures that are that were part of this recovery. But one that many have heard of is a fellow by the name of Martin Luther. And he certainly wasn't a perfect person in any stretch of the imagination. However, we've learned that God uses broken people to accomplish his purposes. And so Martin Luther is an individual who comes on the stage. He gets a revelation, which is Bible revelation. It was always in there. But the Bible at that time was in a language that the common people didn't understand. And some of the truths of the scriptures had really gotten lost to the common man. And Luther reads in the book of Romans about salvation being by faith apart from works of the law, and he speaks truth to power against the power structures that were in place at the time that were oppressing people and keeping them from having the word of God.
So once again, the Bible gets released to the public. The Bible gets released to the everyday man and woman. And what do we see that happens from that? What we call in church history, the replenishment. People hear the word of God, they see that it's true, and then they start to preach it everywhere they go. And we start seeing people go into what we call missions, world missions.
right? And they went all over the earth. The known world at the time of Christ was mostly in the Mediterranean area. And so now here we have an era where the British Empire has gone throughout the globe. There's ships that can go around the entire world. And so missionaries for a couple hundred years during this period went everywhere and extended the reach of the church and the salvation message to every corner of the globe itself.
We come to the final stage of church history, and it's what we're coining here on this page, the reconstitution of the church. Now, we didn't make that term up. This is actually a prophecy that we find in Scripture. In the book of Acts, in chapter number 3, we read in verse number 21, "Whom the heaven must receive until the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the world began."
That's right. And so God intends to restore his church to its original form of perfection, just like he's going to do with the world. He's going to do the same thing with the church. So the church started out in the book of Acts, literally breathing fire, if you will. And so he's going to reconstitute the church to its original form. And we're in those days now. I believe this is something that's going to happen very quickly, even as Nehemiah rebuilt the walls of Jerusalem in just 52 days. We're going to see in these last days the church reconstituted to its original form very quickly.
So now we've caught you up to today. We're at that 6,000-year mark, what we've alluded to earlier in the show. It's been 6 days upon this creation of the world, and we're waiting for this promised seventh day. This seventh day in Scriptures is throughout the Bible of the Lord wanting to make all things right. This promise of what's to come and the day that's to come is called the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ.
That's right. It's the millennium. And before we get to that millennium, the Bible talks about a seven-year period of tribulation. And this we learn about in the prophecy of Daniel, which is in the Old Testament. A fantastic book. If you get a chance to go back and read the book of Daniel, you'll find prophetic utterances in every chapter of that book, many of which have come true already, and some that we are anxiously awaiting.
Well, the Bible tells us about this tribulation time, and you may have heard about it before. You may have heard someone talk a little bit about it, but there's some things about the revelation in Scripture about this final week, this final seven-year period of the tribulation that are a little bit scary for people to hear. But this final part of the cosmic drama, this last piece of God unveiling and revealing truth to us in this overarching story of redemption, we've called the apocalypse.
Right. It's just like if you go to a fireworks show, the last part is the climax of the show, and that's when all heck breaks loose and the fireworks are going everywhere. The end is the big deal. And so that's what we're coming upon at the close of this age. We have this seven-year tribulation period. All heck is going to break loose, and we are going to see the rise of someone called the Antichrist. And so this is this person who is really the opposite or a attempted replacement for Christ. And he is a man who's given himself over to Satan completely. And Satan has literally embodied this person. This person will become a world ruler. This person will become a religious leader. This person will be in charge of a worldwide economic system where people will not even be able to buy or sell unless they've taken a mark and have bowed down to worship this Antichrist figure.
That's right. And the Bible actually tells us about this, which is a grace of God alone, that he put it in Scripture for us to see, be prepared, and on the lookout for the things that are to come. And this Antichrist that's going to show up, in our opinion on this show, in a very short period of time, that the Antichrist is already starting to mount what might be happening and formulating in this world to this apocalypse, to this end of the world, to this last 7 years of the world before it jumps into the reign of Christ. So what we see actually, as the Bible shows us, is that not only is there going to be a mark of what's called the mark of the beast that no one will be able to buy or sell unless they take this mark, is that there's going to be destruction on this earth like you've never seen before. There's going to be inflation like you've never seen before. There's going to be disaster like you've never seen before, until this ruler, this Antichrist ruler, feels like he has the world in a stranglehold.
That's right. And at the culmination of his time period, he is, the Bible says this, he's going to take his seat in the temple of God, proclaiming himself to be God, and he's going to demand that worship. At the same time, through this period, while he's bringing about that stranglehold that Anthony just talked about, there are going to be cataclysmic disasters, natural disasters that are occurring on the earth, or really a better way to describe them as supernatural disasters. Sure. And it's not going to be a pleasant place to be. And the Bible says that we as the church, we will not be taken out of the world until this Antichrist figure has shown himself who he is. He's going to step out. We've been talking about the curtain. This Antichrist figure is going to step out from behind the curtain and reveal himself who he is. And the Bible says that that the church will be rescued. The church will be taken out of the world, but it won't be until that time.
Well, what we've seen kind of throughout the entire story of the Bible is that every single time good is on the rise, that God is on the rise, we see a parallel equivalent enemy of God that's on the rise as well, that evil attempts to take its foothold, and then there's this large battle between light and dark. And so as we get closer to this Antichrist showing up, as we get closer to this time of the end of the world, we're going to see, as God's plan is unfolding, evil's plan is also unfolding at the same time. You might have even been noticing some of this stuff. You may turn on the news, you may turn on the radio, you might look online, you might look on your social platform, and you might notice that the world seems to be indicating that things are not getting better, but things are getting worse. And we might say, guess what? The Bible affirms this. It says that in the last days, perilous times shall come. But what are we looking for? We're looking for that blessed hope and the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
That's right. And so as we get closer and closer to this grand climax of this grand finale, if you will, this fireworks show that's coming, there's really two types of people. There's going to be people that have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. They haven't received him as their Lord and as their Savior. And they're going to be looking upon this coming apocalypse with terror. The Bible says that men's hearts are going to be failing them for fear. For them, the apocalypse just means destruction. However, there are people that have given their life over to serving the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, the King of Kings. Wow. They've received him as their Lord and Savior. They've been transformed on the inside. They've been made a new creation. And for them, this apocalypse, although the circumstances seem scary, although the circumstances are not something you'd necessarily want to have happening for your family, they are looking forward to this time, this grand finale, with joy, because exactly that, it means that the return of the Lord Jesus Christ is very near.
And we've asked you this question since episode one. Are you a pawn in this game, or are you a king in the making? And what we find in Scripture is that ultimately, as these things are so disastrous and sorrowful, the Bible has this one verse that's so amazing. And here's what it says: that the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right, which takes us to the final phase of this thing, is we're going to actually enter into this millennium period, this thousand-year reign of Christ on the earth, this seventh day, if you will, of rest for the earth. And the Bible says that Jesus is going to sit on that throne. He's going to run the world the way it always should have been run. And here's an exciting promise. If you are a servant of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're someone who's been faithful to him, he's going to put you in charge, maybe of five cities, maybe of a city. Some of you who maybe the highest job you've ever had is a dishwasher, you might be put in charge of an entire city or an entire state. And so Those of us who have been faithful have been with him in his trials. And you as a believer in Christ, you have to understand one thing. You are going to go through difficulties. You're going to go through tribulation on this earth. You're going to go through problems on this earth. But Jesus said that those of you who have remained with me in my trials will be rewarded. This happened when Alexander the Great conquered the world in a 10-year period of time. He was now the ruler of the entire world. He started doling out riches and provinces and places and positions of authority to those soldiers who had followed him. Jesus Christ is going to do the same thing upon his return. He's going to come back riding on a white horse. What are some of the other characteristics of this thousand-year reign of Christ?
Well, the Bible gives us some insight to that. I think that in the pages of Scripture, the supernatural prophetic pages of Scripture, not only does it give you insight to some things in your everyday life, but it gives us some of these insights to what's going to happen in the future. And everybody wants to always talk about the end of the world, but they never want to talk about the end of their own life. That you need to come face-to-face and to grips with the fact that at some point your life is going to end. And you're going to have to deal with the fact of the information that's been placed in front of you today. The Bible does give some prophetic points about what's to come. It actually talks about where Jesus is going to reign from.
That's right. He's going to reign from Jerusalem on the throne of David. And so that is the center of the world. It's interesting. You look out there today and you look in the news and you see, and if you go back over the last 50 years, last almost 100 years, and you see Israel is always a hotbed. It's always a place of contention. It's always something going on the news with this tiny little spot in the world. That is because this is a prophetic place, and God has determined this is his land. This is where he's going to reign from. And so when you see everybody arguing and fighting and resisting and being angry with Israel, right and left, what you're seeing is a spiritual battle that's playing out on the world stage.
When Jesus said some interesting words, he said when he left, he says, "You can't come with me because where I go, I'm going to prepare a place for you." And he's going to build this place, and he's been building this place. And ultimately, he's going to reveal us this final truth that shows up in the very last chapter of the entire book of this new Jerusalem.
Right. And so here we have at the close of the millennium, there's a little more fireworks that happens. We're in kind of the epilogue of this whole thing here and in this whole cosmic drama. And so here's the first thing that happens is what's called the Great White Throne Judgment, when all those who have died are resurrected bodily, and they're going to stand before God in judgment for their deeds. And it says that everyone whose name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be cast into a lake of fire. This is the judgment. And after this, once that's done, those who remain are those who have followed Jesus Christ, who've believed on him, who've received forgiveness of their sins. And so for them, now the Bible says that the new Jerusalem, there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, and the new Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven as a bride adorned for her husband. And get this, the Bible says it's going to be 1,500 miles wide, 1,500 miles deep, and get this, 1,500 miles tall. So I want you to picture this. If you take the moon and you chop it off and make it a perfect cube like a dice, it's about the size of the New Jerusalem. All of it is usable space. It's just magnificent and huge.
You might not have known that this was all in the Bible. I want to give a final warning for today's show, and that's this. You need to stay vigilant out there. The Bible says this, that you have an adversary, the devil, who roams about this earth seeking whom he may devour. The only way that you're going to have an opportunity to defeat this enemy is if you go and stand side by side with the Word of God. We're revealing these things, and I understand there's some things that are interesting and difficult in what we talked about today, but we take it as our responsibility to uncover truth and speak it boldly. We hope that there's a tidbit in today's show that got you interested in thinking about what does the Bible say. We hope that you'll come along with us on this journey as we continue uncovering truth and speaking it boldly as lions every single Sunday morning at 9:30. There's a lot more to see. There's a lot more to hear. And we'll hope that you'll go on this journey with us.
We'll see you at church.
God bless.